In this special episode of Notorious Pedagogues, we host a book group that read Lord of the Flies by William Golding and Beauty Queens by Libba Bray. The group members are Sydney, Cortland, Avery, Emily, and Zach.
Let's tune in to hear more of our conversation with this group.
Could you summarize the plot of both of the books?
So in both books, there are people stranded on an island. In Lord of the Flies, it's young children who are from a Catholic or religious school. They have to fend for themselves, use the island, use what they have on hand. And from there, they pick their leaders. They go through a lot of struggles, and eventually this boils down to an all-out war that ends with the death of one of the students named Piggy. In Beauty Queens, these women in a beauty pageant crash land on a deserted island, and they have a lot of resources like beauty products, dresses, and really just anything you'd find at a beauty pageant. And from there, they have a choice between two very different leaders. One that wants to continue like their training, whereas the other one wants to try and survive on the island.
So extend that further and talk to us about what themes, what connections, what overlaps, similarities, differences there are between the two books.
So a very important aspect of both of the books is the idea of gender. In Lord of the Flies, they're all boys. In Beauty Queens, they're all female. So in Lord of the Flies, you see a lot of group dynamics that have to do with male interaction. And whereas Beauty Queen, you see a lot of like feminine aspects. And in Beauty Queens, gender becomes a really important aspect of survival, especially when they meet the other boys and like the internal conflict between the other beauty queens and the stereotypes associated with certain feminine expectations, and a lot of societal expectations come into play that have to do with gender in Beauty Queens, whereas in Lord of the Flies, it's more like primal male instinct.
And I think that there is a continuous theme of society in both books, whereas in Lord of the Flies, it's viewed as a good thing, like we need to maintain society and we need to maintain our humanity. Whereas in Beauty Queens, they're trying to overcome the traumas that society has given them.
What do you think future teachers should know about these books before they would attempt to teach them?
Beauty Queens in particular has more, I would say, adult content that older kids would probably be more comfortable with. Younger kids might not be ready for some of that. But if the teacher has a preset with ideas of how to introduce that, sort of to make it a little more comfortable, to help the kids become a little more knowledgeable before they start the story, I think that would help. Also, there is some violence in Lord of the Flies. I don't know if it's enough for a teacher to need to sort of preset a class for that, but it's something that they should definitely consider before starting the books.
You're working simultaneously on your individual lesson plans, and you've already composed a group multimodal lesson plan. What age group, since we're asking this question, what age level, what grade level, or were you thinking about?
We were considering around like 10th to 12th grade, bordering more on like the older grades, because I feel like they can handle it more. Not to say that younger grades can't, but I feel like they'll have a better understanding and better grasp on some of the more complex themes. I'm thinking more particularly about the scene where the boy encounters the pig head, and it's just a line of text, and you really have to think more deeply about how that works and how that character is thinking in that moment.
Like his internal
dialogue. Yes, his internal dialogue.
Yeah.
We were also talking about that teachers would need to preface that although this is like boys versus girls, the Beauty Queens book isn't just all girls. It's very specifically pageant girls.
Did this come up in your lesson plans as you were planning how to think forward into your future classrooms with gender being such a key theme for these two books, how they'll be received?
It's a very complex topic because it two ends of the spectrum. They're very much so extremes, so you have to take precautions saying, obviously, not every boy is going to act like this and not every girl is going to act like this. This is simply, for lack of a better word, like a case study, and it's a narrative about how society has treated these young boys and these young girls. So take with that what you will.
And it definitely opens up a dialogue between teacher and class to talk about the in-between between these very different ends of the spectrum and why these are stereotypes and why these are bad stereotypes and certain things like that. So it definitely opens up a certain discussion that you could have with your students.
Emily, I want to just circle back. You said the adult themes in Beauty Queens. Could you identify specifically, are you referring to language, sexuality?
I think sexuality.
Okay.
But at the same time, well, maybe not adult, but older kid theme. Because while I think it would be good to really be a little careful when you introduce that, I do think it's a great time to start talking about that and get a conversation going with kids so that they can kind of maybe feel more comfortable in themselves mm-hmm. and realize that, oh, there's other people like me out there, that kind of thing, to sort of, I don't know, help them to understand that the world isn't just what they see here in high school. It's a little bit bigger.
I feel like the actual characters, like the lesbian couple and the transgender character, that might not be what's like shocking about this book, but the actual sexual scenes might be what's uncomfortable to talk about in a classroom.
I think that could also open up the dialogue between the act itself and the idea of the act and how it plays into your own identity. So while it may seem uncomfortable, it could definitely help open up a certain dialogue about identity and sexuality, even though it's just the act. It can definitely play into someone's identity, especially sexual identity, which is prevalent in this book.
As we get into the more specifics, what kinds of assignments are you thinking about or would you plan on teaching for either text or for both? What kinds of assignments?
So we discussed maybe for each book creating a playlist of 8 to 10 songs that each student would choose, and they would write a little excerpt on why they chose that song and why it fits into the book. I think that would be a great use of technology because students can go on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, what have you, and they can kind of explore their own music tastes and what they love and share that with the class.
I love that idea.
Assignment that we were bouncing ideas about was the movie aspect of, especially in Lord of the Flies, because I made the cardinal sin of watching the movie before I read the book. And movies about books can sometimes be like demonized a little bit. I think it's a good way to teach the book, especially Lord of the Flies. And since that's already a movie, a good assignment that we talked about was maybe giving the students an opportunity to cast their own movie for Beauty Queens and what have you, look through like a cast list, make like a little IMBD like summary, and then maybe even film their own trailer like on iMovie or something. Give them an opportunity to really explore the creative aspect of taking literature into film.
So maybe one of the things that you would recommend to future teachers is to not watch the movie first.
Watch the movie second.
I have a vague memory of that movie. Like, it's creepy, isn't
it's
it?
Very it's creepy. Just, okay. Yeah.
That's
it's
all black. I can remember. That's the only word that comes to mind.
Isn't
when
it
I think
black and white?
I don't think so. It's just very grainy. And
maybe that's what I'm remembering.
Yeah.
It's
my brain's just computed it as black and white.
I've just computed it as creepy.
That's creepy.
So what kind of challenges do you think might come up when you're teaching this pair of texts, or you know, one or the other, in terms of administration or student pushback or even parents?
You mentioned a couple, but we're...
Yeah.
Definitely, like, the acts of, like, sexuality within the novels. Like, we live in such a diverse age where we have the older generation that is more traditional and the younger generation that's more experimentative. They just clash so much that Beauty Queens holds ideas like having a lesbian couple, having a transgender student or a pageant member in it, that it might not sit well with the older generation, but it's something that has to come up in discussion because of how much it's discussed in the media, especially mm-hmm. today.
I think there's also the role that the corporation plays in Beauty Queens, and the political nature of that could be a little controversial, because I felt like that hit really close to home just with society today. So I could see some parents, some administration having a little bit of an issue with that in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, I think sometimes being proactive and saying, you know, here is the title of the book we're about to read. Here are some of the things that might be of concern. But as a teacher, I've thought through the bigger picture, and I've got my goals and objectives and everything. And if you want to talk to me about this, I've also seen student teachers who have framed it. You know, I invite you to read the book alongside your son or daughter and ask questions, because I think, you know, you're onto something with the previous generation may not have ever read a book with a lesbian couple, may not have ever read a book with a transgender character. And so to say, you know, we're reading this and that's not the only piece in this story.
And as for administration, I really think it is all about the school you end up teaching at. I know, like, I went to a Catholic school, and my one teacher in eighth grade, she went through every book and blacked out all the bad words. She went through and individually did that. So hopefully, like,
a lot of free time.
So I know I would never would this book even cross, like, my school's mind to as an option to, like, read with Lord of the Flies if we even got to read that. So
you were reading Lord of the Flies for the first time.
This class, that's why.
For
I
this class.
Oh, wow.
Anyone else reading it for the first time?
I also went to a Catholic school. All girls Catholic school.
See, I read Lord of the Flies in an all girls Catholic, but I also read Handmaid's Tale, so maybe, maybe we were.
But with that being said, it also brought up the conversation of censorship that we talked about briefly, especially with Avery's little story. Especially in Beauty Queens, there's, like, underlying with the corporation, there's underlying, like, ideas of censorship, and that's always something that you could talk about with your students as well.
So you mentioned the Spotify playlist idea, which I love. In what other ways would technology show up in how you teach these books?
So I actually listened to this half with audiobook. And it was, like, the best thing I could have done for myself, because I came in and I was so excited to talk about Beauty Queens, and they were like, oh, we didn't really like it. And I was like, it was so funny. And they didn't really catch on to the sarcasm. So I think I caught on to it because I heard the sarcasm. I heard all of their voices. It just added a whole nother layer, and, like, all the commercials had music in the back. And when there was the footnotes, they would, like, bing to the footnotes and talk about, like, characters that you wouldn't really know. This is also answering, like, how it would be engaging for everyone. Like, I would, not the whole book, but I would do maybe some chapters, like, go in and out of class reading and listening to the audiobook, and then them reading at home, just so they can get the voices of all the characters, because there's some girl who has a British accent that changes back to American, and just so that they could catch on and get everything that they might miss reading it themselves.
You might even have them do digital videos of the commercials in the book.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like their own interpretation, because you're saying if there was music in the audio, maybe just share one audio recording with them, and then, because there's a few, right, in the book.
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Accessing these books as audiobooks is a strategy that we didn't necessarily argue for, but you're not the only one who's had a similar experience that's shared about it.
Yeah.
And it's making me wonder, looking at Dr. Schmidt, maybe this is something we need to consider and take account of. We're using the medium of podcasting to reach people.
Yeah.
Maybe this is something we need to consider, because that's very interesting.
When I was in eighth grade, I read The Giver, and my teacher actually had us listen to it, the entire book, on audio. And I think that actually helped us be more engaged with the book. But I think that audiobooks can really help get students engaged, excited, really help their creative juices get flowing.
And I think it's much easier to understand, because I know as a student with ADD, like, it's hard to look at words on a page for a long, long time. So it helps me to kind of listen to it and follow along. It makes the words make sense in my head, and it makes everything easier to understand. I can think back to, oh, Benedict Cumberbatch reading this to me. Okay, he did this voice, and this is this character. It's easier to connect certain people, as you mentioned, with certain voices and certain
Does he
events.
Read Lord of the Flies?
He doesn't read Lord of the Flies, but I heard an audiobook with Benedict Cumberbatch, and it was lovely.
Okay, so just any other ways of integrating technology?
For our multimodal lesson plan, we actually incorporated technology and a choose your own adventure scenario. And originally we had that just written, and we kind of bounced ideas off of each other, like, how can we add technology into this? So I pretty much just, like, Googled choose your own adventure app, and I came up with this app called Typeform. And unfortunately you do have to, like, pay for it and stuff, which is really annoying. But it was really helpful in creating a choose your own adventure scenario using pictures, GIFs, videos, and creating a really interactive experience between the students in a group being able to connect their experiences together to the text.
Did you think of any other books that you would incorporate or other texts, whether they were songs or poems or, you know, anything else that you might incorporate here thinking thematically?
So we were looking at, there's a chart on Pinterest that says, okay, here are some books commonly paired with Lord of the Flies. And we saw, like, for historical context, there was the Stanford Prison Experiments, which is also an all-boys setting. There's The Prince by Niccolo Machiavelli. There's The Hunger Games we were looking at.
And I think I was going to talk about The Hunger Games. It's a little bit more family-friendly than Beauty Queens. So I would maybe pair that with Lord of the Flies. And just because it's about, like, young children forced into survival by society. And I don't think we've talked about this yet, but the society in Lord of the Flies is also the war that's going on. If the war wasn't going on, they wouldn't have to have fled to this island.
Unscripted question. It was almost going to be Hunger Games.
Oh. Really?
Uh-huh. So I don't know if we, did we ever say that out loud? So impromptu question. Lord of the Flies, which is better, Beauty Queens or Hunger Games?
Hunger Games.
See, why?
I like
the theme of gender is so nice and rich and fruitful. But the Hunger Games has that yes that you all just gave.
It's harder for Beauty Queens because it doesn't have the same tone as Lord of the Flies. And we've discussed this all extensively. While Beauty Queens is a great text for young girls, not even just young girls, just young readers in general, it just doesn't have the same tone. And it's, yeah, these young girls are stranded on an island, but that's kind of where the similarities end. These girls are trying to find themselves and overcome societal pressures. Not a commentary on society in and of itself that doesn't have to do with overcoming, like, your own personal traumas.
I think Beauty Queens was more about, no, it wasn't more about entertainment, but it was more entertaining. I was less worried about finding out if these girls were going to survive. Mm-hmm. Lord of the Flies, yeah. I felt like it was getting kind of crazy there. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you didn't really know mm-hmm. who was going to die, if they were all going to die. Beauty Queens, everybody's probably going to live and live happily ever after. But Hunger Games is a little more like really surviving and really more serious.
Yeah, it just has the same tone as Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you want to focus on the survival aspects of Lord of the Flies, then Hunger Games would definitely be a better text to pair it with. But Beauty Queens, I think it's a great book to teach, but by itself, not necessarily comparative to another text. Because mm-hmm. It's so rich. There's so much that you could just teach.
Yeah, if you want to make that like a little branch, like as you're teaching Lord of the Flies, like, oh, by the way, side note, here's Beauty Queens. It's also a great text and it alludes a lot to Lord of the Flies. That would be maybe a good classroom bookshelf, sort of like, here, read this at your own pace, but not necessarily like pairing them side by side, as you mentioned.
How might you integrate a similar experience like book club, lit circles, whatever you would want to call them, into your own classrooms in the future?
We really liked the infographic aspect of the book club. You know, like Avery said, when we came in to class and talked about Beauty Queens, Avery loved it. And we were all kind of like, meh, I don't know. How is it similar? How is it really similar to Lord of the Flies? But when we started to do the infographic, it really made us think about it a lot more deeply. There are definitely things that line up, but you kind of have to really dig a little deeper to find it. So I think we thought that would be a good assignment to carry through.
And I would definitely use this as a whole classroom thing, like have it be one or two books for the whole classroom and split it up into five groups instead of five different books or however you did it as at a lower level. Because when they're younger, we might need a whole class discussion about what we all think of the book.
Especially for a book like Beauty Queens and Lord of the Flies, because there's a lot going on. There's a lot to talk about. And there's a lot of different opinions that can be generated from these books that can be shared.
I feel like if you like split everybody up into groups, it's easier to share those opinions because once you're in like a big classroom, there's going to be those students who feel isolated and don't want to participate, whereas you have the other side of the spectrum with students who always participate. Like in a book club setting, it's going to be like smaller, maybe like five people, mm-hmm. and you'll get to hear the opinions of everybody as they all generate one voice.
Yeah, and I think that was one of the reasons why we went 9 pairings to 6, because last spring
some groups only had three people, but one was a super quiet person or not as engaged in the class because maybe they were BA and they didn't drop the class. And so then we found it wasn't as rich of a discussion with only three people, but really two and a half, right? So that's why we thought, well, what if we have six books, then they're a little bit of a bigger group, but then hopefully still everyone can still participate. So hopefully that was your experience.
It definitely was.
Welcome back.
So for me, this first episode is really exciting because I love how the group members revealed that for some of them, they were reading these texts for the first time. And I loved how they could articulate their experience as readers, but then how the conversation easily transitioned to them thinking about these books from a teacher perspective. You know, what groundwork do you need to lay out first? How do you inform parents about certain subject matter? So for me, I really enjoyed that aspect of this podcast.
I agree. Enough time has now passed where I don't remember the specifics of the individual sessions and the recording sessions we had with each group. And I think this group did a really wonderful job putting all of their voices together with ours to really tell a compelling story about how to teach these two books. You hear in the recording how moved I was their use of technology. I love the idea of creating the playlist. I really loved their bringing in the idea of the audiobook, and then they did that even, you know, above and beyond what was asked from us. I think that pushed us in the moment to think, how can we use this in the future? Something we hadn't even considered yet.
Right. Yeah, because I think I remember writing down, like, maybe we should, you know, remember this and explore further audiobooks.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This was the first of six of the book club podcasts that will be coming out. This one was focused on Lord of the Flies and
Beauty Queens.
And be on the lookout for our next episode to drop. It'll probably be another book club podcast. But we'll try to mix them up a little bit so it's not just all the book clubs coming out at once.